Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There, some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." There are some words of wisdom when it comes to our tongues. Right? There's one that says, "A still tongue makes a wise heart." There's a philosopher who said, "We must hear well before we can speak." And then a grandmother said this, "A wise old owl sat on an oak. The more he listened, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be like that wise old bird?" There are some, there's a lot that's said, actually, about speaking and listening. And today I want to talk a little bit about listening and hearing one another, okay? One of the problems that we have in our society today is that people don't listen very well. There's a lot of things going on. Part of the problem is that everybody has something to say. You know, particularly with our electronic media and all of that that's going on, there's always somebody, all these opportunities to say what we think. And, boy, some people think some crazy stuff out there, I can tell you that. But people are writing, you know, a lot of people have blogs that they write on. They're sending text messages all the time. You know, if you're doing that right now, I'm going to just ask that you don't. And there are instant messages and tweets. And if you don't know what that is, I'm not going to explain. Us old folks, we use emails, right? That's the old-fashioned way of sending news, I guess. But the fact is that we're all there's so much that so many opportunities that we have to say things, and so people are always saying stuff. And listen, we are privileged. We are absolutely privileged in our country and in our society today to be able to express our opinions. All right, and I think it's a wonderful thing that we can do that. But with everyone talking and expressing themselves, it kind of makes you wonder if there's anybody even left to listen. Even some of the things that we do listen to are just kind of things that agree with what we've already said, right? You know, you can choose news that agrees with your political stand. You can choose groups of people to online that just agree with you in this topic or in that topic, and all these little platforms for people to kind of express the same points over and over ad nauseum, etc. And the fact is that we don't take a lot of opportunity to listen to something that's maybe not in agreement with us. And so we don't really take time to listen. We don't really listen to each other so often. You know, there was here's an actual phone conversation. "Acme Storage, this is the store man. How can I help you?" "Yeah, is Joe there?" "Sorry, there's no Joe here. This is a storage facility, and we've never had an employee named Joe." "Oh, is this Progressive Insurance?" "No, this is a storage facility." "Oh, is Joe there?" No Joe here." "When do you expect him back?" Click. We don't listen to each other, do we? You know, it's just kind of like blah, blah, blah. You may be hearing that right now. I'm not sure. But you wouldn't tell me if you did. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. <laughs> That's going to affect everything that comes after this. I don't know. We often only hear part of what's being said, you know. Sometimes when we're in conversations with people, we'll assume, make assumptions about what they're getting at. I'm guilty of this sometimes, you know. Somebody would say this. Sometimes it's with our spouses that we do this the worst, actually. You know, something begins to be said, and we just kind of assume where this is going, and so we make all of our ideas about how we're going to respond and what the person is trying to say. And the fact is that we only hear part of these kinds of things. You know, in our media today, we have these little sound bites or little phrases. Some of them have actually been stated or said. Some of them have been taken out of context. And what was intended was not really what is expressed as we read it. We don't hear and listen to each other very well anymore. You know, we have a lot to say, and a lot of times we have a lot to say about one another. Particularly, we have a lot to say about people who are over there somewhere, you know. And this isn't just in political kinds of things. In all kinds of situations, we'll often kind of say, well, those people, they do this, or they're this way. They think this, you know. And I was having a conversation with some folks I was trying to figure out why I kind of felt sick during the political season. Okay? And I came to realize it's because we make these kind of assumptions about one another, and we demonize each other, and we say, well, you know, they think this, they believe that, and we tear each other down. Most of it's made because of assumptions, or because we think we understand. But how can we understand somebody if we don't actually listen to them? And folks in our community, and in our church community, this is so necessary. It's so important for us to be able to listen to each other, to really hear what we each have to say. Whether we agree all the time or not, we need to be able to hear and listen. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, okay? The fact is, sometimes we don't listen to what God has to say either. You know, oh, we listen to the parts that make us feel good about ourselves, or parts that, you know, we're okay, you know, parts that where we're not, don't have to deal with conviction or things like that. But we will often dismiss the parts that really, maybe that God's really trying to get to us. You know, and I'm not talking about things where we just kind of maybe disagree on theology or something like that. But we often will hear something and God will be trying to speak to us, and we'll just kind of put it aside and say, no, I don't, you know, let's focus on this part, because I know some people that really need to hear this. And God's saying, yeah, but I've got actually some words for you. And often those type of words cause us to, are words that would lead us to maybe seeing people in a different way, or convicting us of our own behaviors, or maybe challenging some of our attitudes. God is wanting to speak to us, but we often have difficulty hearing or don't really want to hear what he has to say. Well, in our text this morning, we have Jesus opening the ears of a man who is deaf and bringing speech to this man who was not able to speak well, it says. Okay. Now, in ancient cultures, the connection between deafness and not being able to speak well wasn't really made. It wasn't really connected. Okay. And today, of course, we understand that in order to be able to speak well, we need to be able to hear well, right? And that is pretty important for us to remember this morning, the importance of hearing before we speak, right? So anyway, in the text, it talks about this man who is both deaf and mute, or unable to speak well, and Jesus brings healing to him. Okay, Jesus is out in this area that's not Jewish. He's trying to kind of get away from the crowds, and Teresa kind of brought out some of that about, you know, that he said, "Please don't tell people, you know, don't let people know what's going on here so much," Jesus is away from the Jewish crowd. He's in the ten cities, Decapolis, which is on the other side of Galilee, which would be in Jordan, the state of Jordan these days.
And as he's there, people bring this man to Jesus. And so Jesus wants to help him, and he takes him aside, and he touches, he puts his fingers in his ears, and he spits. I don't know how this, if he spit into his hand and touched the man's tongue or whatever, but immediately it says, his ears were opened, and his tongue was loosed, and then he could speak freely. This is really a wonderful story of healing. And it's interesting also always to note that Jesus doesn't heal the same way. You never see Jesus going, okay, well, see, first of all, I need to do this. So what's the method here for healing a deaf person? You know, it's however he's led, the Spirit leads him. There's a need, I think, sometimes for Jesus to touch us in the places where we are hurt the most, places where we need healing. And as he touches us, that healing begins to happen. And so that's what we see happening here with this man. He touches, and he says some words, though. And this is what I want to focus on today. He says, Ephatha. Ephatha. That's the way they say it's pronounced. Right? Which means, be opened. Be opened. Steve already talked about our hands need to be opened. Right? Jesus says to the man, your ears, be opened. Your mouth, be opened. All too often, the church says, we need to be closed. We need to close up these things. We don't want to be too open because that's scary. But as Jesus is opening this man's ears, he's beginning to hear things in a way he's never heard. He's able to express himself in ways he's never expressed himself before. And this is a lesson for us, that Jesus is wanting us to be opened to his word and opened to those around us, as foreign as some of them may be, to be open to hear, to be able to hear first. Do you think that what God wants you to know, that you already know it all? Of course you're going to say no. I'm hoping so. Okay. Of course we don't know everything God wants us to know yet. Sometimes our response to that is, well, we just won't know things until we get to heaven. You know, then things will be clear, and that's exactly true. But God is always revealing himself to us. And sometimes it's in ways that we wouldn't even expect. And sometimes it's in places we wouldn't expect God to reveal himself. You know, we come here and we hope that God will reveal himself to us. We come together in a worship setting. We hope that God will speak to us this week to kind of carry us through the week. And the fact is that God is speaking to us and he's wanting to reveal himself to us all the time. Wherever we go, whatever we do, that God is out there working and wanting to reveal himself to us. He's wanting to bring someone to us who needs to experience maybe the glory of God. And he's wanting us sometimes to recognize that God's glory is right there in front of us. Are we open enough to see that or to hear that? Or is our response, as it has often been through the ages, God can't speak through that person. God can't speak through those people. God can't speak through that group of folks. God will only speak to me here in this setting. No. Do you think there's something that God can still teach you? I know there is plenty that God can still teach me. The only way that I'm going to be able to receive that, though, is for my ears and my eyes and my heart and my mind to be open. Now, there's plenty of stuff out there that we don't want to fill our heads up with. Okay? Plenty of things out there that we don't want to expose our eyes to. We don't want to fill our ears with a bunch of things that are worthless. And so we need God's discernment and His Spirit's discernment to help us to know what it is that's God speaking and what is it that is just people speaking. And just because it's in the church or on the church TV doesn't mean that it's God speaking to you. Okay? We need that discernment. We're going to talk about this. How do we listen then for God's voice? Let's start there. Used to be, I remember in New Jersey, there were a lot of train tracks that went through South Jersey. And they were always on these little back roads that didn't, you know, you never even think about coming up to having to stop. But there would be these signs out there that say, stop, look, listen. I don't know if they have those around here. But the train tracks, as they used to say, stop, look, and listen. You would stop, okay, so you didn't get run over by a train. You'd look to see if anything's coming, and you'd listen for the train whistle. When it comes to listening for God, we need to do the same thing. We need to first stop. We have so much going on. There's so much noise, so much activity going on in our lives that I know without a doubt that God is sometimes trying to speak to me, and I'm unable to hear or recognize that His voice is even there. Because I've got so many other things. I've got these meetings to go to. I've got these schedules. I've got to do this. I've got to prepare this. And then when I'm not, I'm kind of filling up the air with maybe the TV in the background or some music, some headphones on, or reading those blogs that are so important out there, you know. And we're filling up our minds and filling up our space with so much noise, some of it actual noise and some of it just noise of activity, that we can't hear God's voice. And so, first thing we need to do, if we really want to hear God's voice, we need to sometimes stop. And folks, there's a need for us to stop and be quiet for a little while. Listen, there's something in here that's in the back of this little insert today that talks about communication skills, okay? And this is speaking specifically about with your spouse. And as you think about that, being able to hear God, it works sort of the same way. We need to sometimes just stop and make time for each other. We simply need to sit down together, you know? What's keeping you from stopping in your world today? You know, what is it? What are you making time to simply be still before the Lord, to be still and know that God is God? Second thing we need to do is then to look. We need to look to see where God is at work. Because God is working not just in our congregation, but God is working all around us. God is challenging people and at work in some of the things that are being done, some of the things that are happening at the elementary school, for example. We see God at work there. Though there's nobody mentioning that this is God at work, we know that this is God at work because we can see the fruit of it. And so, look to see where God is working. That's what we need to do. We need to see, you know, is God working there? Is God working here? Look at that. You know, I mean, we see God's activity. And when we see that then we know it's time to listen. Right? Listening with our ears and our mind open. Now, you say, well, how do we know if it's God? It's God's voice. I'm going to remind you of the fruit. There's some fruit of the Spirit. Click X one more time. There we go. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I think I missed one. And this fruit means that what's going on around that voice or around those activities as you're looking to try to figure out where God's working, if you see these qualities, we know that that's God's Spirit, right? So if we see that there's patience being shown and kindness and goodness, we know that God's at work there. Because only a good tree can produce good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. And so, if there is the goodness of faithfulness and gentleness and love and joy and peace, we know that God is at work there. And so, as you're looking, trying to figure out where God is at work, look for these qualities. That's the fruit. That's what comes from the Holy Spirit and His activity. All right? So, then we listen. We listen. Lord, what are you saying here? What are you trying to say to me? What are you trying to reveal to me here? And sometimes we need to be that specific. Because, you know, sometimes we just hope that we're going to, by osmosis, get the ideas that God wants us to have and the understanding. But sometimes we need to say, God, what are you trying to teach me here? Usually it's in the hard times that we say that, right? God, teach me whatever it is you're trying to teach me so I can get out of this mess. Right? Listening to God requires us to stop, look, and listen. Listening to each other sometimes requires a similar kinds of things. There are some suggestions on how we can be better listeners. Because like I said, you know, sometimes we just kind of hear it. If I have a guitar in my hand and Patty's talking to me, she has actually learned that she can say whatever she wants and I'll probably go, Because she knows I'm not really listening. Okay, I may look like I'm listening. I can be looking right at her face and not comprehending a word she's saying. Right? So how do we become better listeners? Right? Well, for me, I know I have to just put the instrument down, and that's one of the things. There are some suggestions here. You can find all kinds of resources that tell you how to be a better listener. First of all, it's paying attention to the person who's speaking, trying to focus not on what the person's trying, what you think they're going to say, but what they're actually saying, right? That's a good thing. Letting the speaker finish. Because sometimes, you know, people will kind of end with a little summary in you want to see if that's really what you've kind of concluded too. And encouraging you to resist the urge to develop a response while the speaker is speaking. That's a tough one, right? You know, somebody starts speaking, you go, oh, I know where this is going. Okay, I know what I'm going to say to them, right? The person's still going on explaining something that you really aren't paying attention to. Sometimes when someone says something, to ask a question, say, do I hear you saying this or do I hear you saying that? You know, kind of clarifying things, giving some feedback. These are just some suggestions for how we can become better listeners with one another. And it's important for us to do so, you see, because listening to one another demonstrates that we love one another. It shows that we're not so absorbed in our own thing or our own stuff that what you have to say isn't important. Well, as we listen to each other, what we're saying is, I love you enough to make this time to hear what you have to say. And I love you so much, or love you enough to be able to say that even though I think you're a little bit batty with what you're saying, I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to be patient. I'm going to even try to understand. Again, we come back to this fruit of God's Spirit. If God's Spirit is in you as a listener, then you're going to listen with some love and peace and patience, right? With gentleness, with some self-control and kindness. See, these are the things that are going to be demonstrated by the listener when we're hearing, but we're filled with God's Spirit. After we've listened, after we've heard God's voice, or after we've heard one another's voices, then we can open our mouths. And this is what the man in our story did. His ears were opened first, his tongue was loosed, and then he spoke clearly. And then all the other people wanted to speak too, okay? But it's in that order. So after we allow our ears to be opened and hear what has been said, then our tongue can be loosed. We can speak with clarity and with understanding too. We speak from what we've heard. Now, there have been some times when I've heard something that God was saying to me, and I felt that it was I felt desperate to tell someone else that thing that I learned so that I could correct them too. And sometimes it takes some wisdom and discernment to know if what you have heard is meant for you or if it's meant for someone else. Just because you know it doesn't mean you're supposed to tell it. My mom used to tell me that. And I think we've told our kids that at various times too. Just because you know what's going on here. No, okay. The fact is that when God speaks to us, sometimes he's speaking to us for us, and sometimes he's speaking to us to prepare us for another encounter that we'll have with someone else. And it requires some wisdom and some discernment specifically to know when that is. I think generally we should assume that when God speaks to us, that he's speaking to us for ourselves. Okay. But he can use that later on too. But it's a good way to begin that understanding. And second of all, that when we speak, our words will be the most meaningful and be the most impactful when we let them be led by the Spirit. What are the qualities and attitudes that surround the things that we should say? Love and joy and peace, patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. These are the things that should be seen in what we say. They should, it's like our words should be surrounded by these qualities. And if they're not, if what the hearer is hearing is anger and impatience, an attack, then you know that your words maybe didn't come from the Spirit. But maybe they're coming from your desire for something else. It's amazing. The love and joy and peace, the gentleness, all these things that can be found in our world when Christians allow the Holy Spirit to guide them. I confess that my words are not always salted with the Spirit, but I pray that they will be. And it's my desire to correct when I speak out of turn. And this is the way we should be. Desiring to be living by the Spirit. Desiring with all of our hearts that people will not see us, but they'll see God's Spirit in us. And that way, the things we do and say will bring glory to the one who deserves the glory, to God. Right? Jesus said so many times, "He who has ears to hear, let them hear." May we be able to hear God. May we be able to hear one another. May our ears be opened and not closed. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word that speaks to us. And we confess, Lord, that there are times when we don't really want to hear all of what it may say. But may our ears be opened. May our minds be opened and our hearts be opened to your Spirit's leading. Mold us, shape us, make us into your image. Lord, may we be able to live as you've called us to live by your Spirit, so that in everything we do, in everything we say, your fruit will be seen, and all will be seasoned by it. Thank you, Lord, for this presence that you've given to us of your Spirit. And guide us, Lord, as we live by him. In your name I pray. Amen.